Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Glamier. Hi, this is Dr. Tabitha Mir. I'm a cosmetic dermatologist, owner, and founder of Mir Skin Cosmetic in New York City, and star of an Emmy Award-winning Bravo TV show. My podcast is all about great conversations with your favorite celebrities, media personalities, and well-known experts in the worlds of lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. Through their stories, I hope to uplift, inspire, and educate. This is Glamier.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Glamier. Me, Dr. Tabitha Samir, and today I've got majority of the cast members from Bravo's Real Estate Wars, which is on Bravo. Its finale is in a couple of weeks, and we've got Drew D'Angelo here. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Leo Goldschwartz.
Hey, how are you?
Spiro Kemble.
Hi, Doc.
Hi. Elisa Stowell.
Hi.
Stowell. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
We're here in sunny Los Angeles. You guys drove up from Orange County, so thank you for being here.
Thanks. I love LA. Us.
You love LA?
I love LA.
Have
I grew
GPS.
Up in LA.
GPS.
Born in LA, it was great.
That's yep. great.
It's great to be here.
So, one of the first things is like, this is different than a lot of the other shows that you see, the million dollar listing kind of shows, because there's two teams. You guys are both competing for real estate in like the very high net worth, very glamorous Orange County area. We have Team McMonagle and Team Relegance. So,
Irrelevant.
Really? We want to start already, go there?
Whoa, okay. So, come on, boys. Keep it nice here.
I love it. No, don't keep it nice. Really. Keep going. Keep going.
Easy there. And no. I know that.
McMinions, okay, yeah. McMinions. Yeah.
So I love that two adversaries are in the room together, so we're going to have fun with this.
Okay.
Let's start with you, Drew, because you're immediately right in front of me. You are in Team McMonagle. You and Drew and Leo are both on Team McMonagle. And Spiro and Elisa are on Team Relegance. How did you get to the point where you're there on those teams? And I say teams, it's companies, but it feels like you guys are on teams.
Well, I think what they needed to do, they're trying to not, first of all, they're trying to be organic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, the McMonagle team is an organic team that has grown from within.
Mm-hmm.
Our team was more formed for the purpose of the show, even so we all work together mm-hmm. under one umbrella.
So Team Relegance was mainly for the purpose of...
For the purpose of the show.
Yeah.
However, it's very organic. Mm-hmm. We are Team Relegance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like any team, we have a lot of friction mm-hmm. and drama.
Yeah.
And you can see how organic it is by... truly seeing that we have conflict.
Yeah.
You know, unlike say, you know, the McMonobots who operate on the one lane and they had lockstep and they're a team. I mean, they really operate as a team and they follow each other's lead. And they follow John's lead.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the difference between us.
Got it.
We're all individual agents.
Yeah.
So
all my deals are my deals.
I understand they're your deals.
They're my deals. John has not given me a
Then maybe you should find a new leader because maybe you should call.
Oh, yes.
Maybe
so your leader.
Maybe
on,
we
boys.
Should call.
He's a world class agent. He's number one in the world.
And we're talking about John.
He was.
He was.
Maybe
okay,
not today, in your opinion,
no.
but
not
you know
in
what?
A long
what
time.
He's done,
he
will never
that,
go away.
He reached that pinnacle. And that
there's always going to be haters.
No.
Yeah. So wait, before we get too far, you're talking about John McMonagle.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
What you guys are talking about. Who is your... what do I call him? Your
he's
boss.
My mentor.
He's your mentor, your
yeah.
boss. So he's been in the industry for a very, very long time.
Right.
He reached like this peak and then he slowly kind of started getting competition,
mm-hmm.
which is where Team Relegance kind of came in and JoJo from your end. But he's a very controversial person because some have said he has done unethical things to steal clients and done unethical things. Do you guys agree?
No.
Okay.
Well, do
Anyone
you
else?
Know about what he's done in the past, or you're just
no?
So that's
no.
the problem.
Can we take away the Kool-Aid
Whenever
right
you're
now?
At the top, someone wants to pull you down.
And look,
and that's
I understand.
The way it is.
It is.
For sure.
You're not there. You want to take them down. You're going to throw whatever mud you can and mm-hmm. see what sticks on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Here's the bottom line.
And that's what
line.
They're doing. If you watch the show, that's all they have.
Yeah. What mm-hmm. somebody
Who's
did
they?
In the past.
Who's
the
they?
Team.
The team.
Well, I would say.
Okay. I want Leo. Leo, what were you going to say?
Drew.
Drew.
So Drew, what somebody does in the past, look, everybody makes mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That is no relation to the relationship that we have with him and who he is today and why we are on the team and the leadership that he gives us. You know, the past is the past, and that's where it should stay. You know, despite if he unethically did anything, I don't know, I wasn't there, I can't comment on that. What I can comment on is the John that I've known for 20 years and 5 years being in real estate in this facet as an agent is starkly different than any story that I've ever heard. You know, there's tons of stuff out there about everybody. You know that, Spiro.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all, there for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah.
So we all, however, it's a small town.
It is.
It is a small town.
And John has made, obviously, many. Like you said, the higher you fly, the fall, you know, the further down you fall, and the bigger target you have in your back. But realistically, we all know what has happened in the past. And I've known John for 25 years. He really made all of us better marketing people. It wasn't before John, we just kind of threw stuff up against the wall. John made all of us compete harder. John made all of us step up our game. So in that regard, I have a lot of respect for John. But I also know where the bodies are buried and the minefields with John that, you know, that you just have. And you can't deny it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's something that was in the past and it might not be now. And everybody gets a chance to reinvent themselves.
Reinvent themselves.
Yeah. And he did a good job with that.
Reinventing himself.
Yeah. We evolve. Yeah. He reinvents himself. Uh-huh. But where he is today, I think he's in a great place. He's got a great team, and you know, we just have differences, a lot of differences between us. You know, we're not one shop fit all. You know, there's a lot of people that might say, I don't want anything to do with the likes of John. And other people will say, hey, they have a great team, and he you know, I like the way he handles himself.
That's life.
It's
just the preference of the client, really.
So then that's my kind of next follow-up to that. You have two different teams, two different philosophies, two different ways of being, selling, dealing with your clients. What do you think are the biggest differences or between the two teams or thought processes between the two?
I think the structure of the teams, you know, definitely is different. Like we said, with John's team, he's kind of the leader, whereas we are all equally individual agents that have the
same
stake.
So you're saying they're not equally an individual? Is that what you're kind of intimidating?
I think they're more.
It's just a different structure of the team.
Down to the McMonagle.
Got it.
We kind of brand ourselves within our team as well. And I think that's the difference. I think there might be differences also because we're four females. And a half, and then and
it's
they are four guys, and a girl. But I think that that just reflects on how we conduct business with our clients, because I think as a woman, you kind of are more caring about the individuals, and it's not so much about the business and the money, but it is about making those long-term relationships and nurturing that relationship. And I think that's probably the main difference. And I think Spiro is just in the same boat with the girls.
I think one of our main differences, I'm 60 now. I'm kind of the old man in the group. However, because thank you.
Yeah, you do.
You do look great.
Thank you. You know what? I don't do fillers or anything.
Not yet.
Yeah, we saw that.
My point is that age 60 now, life's too short to just get a listening. And sometimes you just have to try to push the envelope. But as we'll see with Lagunita and with Bayside, sometimes you're better off just stepping away from a listing. I would have never taken a listing at 25 at Lagunita because it just wasn't even in the cards. And I think you're going to see on the episode, on the finale, that when we come in and give our opinion of value, it's a huge contradict to what the McMonagle team said it's worth.
Got it.
So explain that transaction a little bit. You know, and you never really know until you test the market. I think we all have taken overpriced listing.
So the pricing of the place was overpriced in your opinion?
That's putting it mildly.
Basically, what he's saying is he's a really good armchair quarterback.
No,
what he's saying. What coming you, after the oh. fact.
Absolutely
you know?
Not.
What and you're will, right. We tested the waters. Uh-huh. It didn't work.
That's not testing the water. That's just
hey.
That's just insanity. That, is what you're
that's,
doing.
That's we putting on a bathing suit when you see the ice on the water.
Yeah. No, that's wasting a lot
that's okay.
of marketing
cold
dollars.
Is good.
But again,
shrinkage. No, you will see on the episode that at the point when we came in, we felt it just. For instance, when your St. Anne's property was priced really well, yes. I thought you guys did a hell of a job, and obviously
absolutely.
It was reflected in the sale.
Right. That's right.
Lagunita,
I sold that thing.
I know you did. It's not about you right now. Come on. I sold that. I mean, when you sold it, it was right. priced right. Lagunita, it was worth half of what you guys put it on, and that just doesn't attract real buyers. And I know the seller says, I'm not taking a dime under 30.
Right.
You just chuckle and say, fine, you know what? My favorite saying is, I want to be the first born, mm-hmm. the second husband, and the third listing agent.
Nice.
Because at
the
that
second
point,
husband, how about the second wife?
Well, okay,
same.
But from my perspective, I want to be the second husband. Mm-hmm. Because on the third listing agent, perspective comes mm-hmm. in. And you say, okay, maybe it's not the agent. Maybe it's my expectations. And that's what we do. We have to manage our clients' expectations.
Right. So what you had is you had an overpriced or a high price listing. The buyer was not willing to go down. The seller was not willing to go down. Mm-hmm. And McMonagle took it on. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I took it on. What happens
Leo
is
took
that... I think at this price point, mm-hmm. as you guys can probably back me up on this, is that the clients a lot of times don't have to sell.
No. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of egos.
Yeah.
And they want what they want.
Yeah.
And they'll put a number out there, and if someone comes, great.
Great. If not, they can
someone
sit on it.
Someone doesn't, you don't. And then, like, you know, Spiro's right. Sometimes you may have to walk away from certain listings. I've walked away from a lot of listings.
Yep. Is that typical in Orange County area where there's...
I think it's typical everywhere.
Is
I think
it
it's
more
just
typical there?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just the certain sellers in high wealth areas.
Yeah, because it is a high wealth area, and you probably have sellers that don't need to sell that place. They're not short on money or time, so they might have these crazy numbers.
I think that's the difference between the teams or the philosophy is that I personally wouldn't want to spend all that marketing money knowing that it's not going to sell.
Right.
It's great to have a listing and have your sign out there, but at the end of the day, it's a business decision of how much money are you going to spend on something you're never going to sell.
Right.
Well, there's also a different perspective to that too, which is, you know, our brand and the way that we are kind of portrayed and what we do is we set records,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And John's, you know, out of 45 listings that have been on the market that are over $20 million, he's done half of them. Right. Mm-hmm. And those numbers may not be right, but put it this way, on the coast of Orange County,
mm-hmm.
he's done a majority of them.
Yeah.
And he knows the value of that. So he doesn't walk in not knowing it. John is very calculated at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And our perspective when we come in and sell something is we know how to build those things because mm-hmm. John is a developer. You know, Leo's been around development a lot. I've been around development a lot. We know how to sell value. We mm-hmm. know what it takes to build a property.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a fiduciary duty in telling that to the clients that walk through those doors.
Got it.
And, you know, it's not just, hey, pie in the sky, mm-hmm. let's get a $25 million number and hope we hit it. There's philosophy to it.
So it's a long game. You can sell it. If it sells, great. But if it doesn't sell, you reduce the price.
Right.
And
well, you have to go back and reevaluate the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
likely having to change the price.
But the market in this hasn't changed. A $20 million market has not changed.
No.
The attrition mm-hmm. is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a four-year sales cycle when you get to $20 million above.
Right.
So you have to
take 4 years to sell something at $20 million?
It could.
Right
but
now,
it
there's
could.
Enough properties on the market that in order to saturate, to clean up this market, mm-hmm. it'll take 4 years. So if you want to be one of those sales that's going to come up, you should be within the ballpark. Now, it's not an income property where you guys have done development, where you take income expenses, multiply it out, and you get a cap rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's an emotional buy.
It's emotional.
Yeah, but you still need to be within the ballpark mm-hmm. of what somebody's willing to pay. And if a comp two doors down was $13 million, mm-hmm. newer home, bigger lot, mm-hmm. almost similar location.
Distress sale.
It doesn't matter. It's still a sale. You just said
that. But that's
okay,
apples and animals.
So what did you,
that's not apples
come on,
to
you
apples,
can't,
man.
You can't do that.
I think the house is worth anywhere from 13 to 15, but not 30.
And it's conditioned prior, you're probably yes. right.
You but know, you also but have to look at the buyers are now. Not, they're savvy. The buyers in Orange County are savvy. They know the comps. They know exactly what's sold on the coast. So they're not going to come in and say, be emotional and say, hey, I love the house. I know it's $10 million overpriced. I'll pay, you know, $5 million more. They're going to pay exactly what the market bears. So
yeah, even at that high net worth, they're not going to just throw an extra $5
million. No. I mean, high net worth.
Buyers yeah, around the world right now are good very point. Savvy. You know? They have yeah. a lot of information in front of them. Sometimes they have more than we do.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with Bayside. Mm-hmm. You guys bought $3.3 million.
Right.
We're down to mm-hmm. $2.3 million now. That's
$2.9 million.
2.4 the last time I saw.
I never agreed with that pricing.
A Bayside?
Because I know what it takes to build that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I'm saying is at some point, and that's an easier property to defend, Bayside. Right. It's just some people, what I don't like, it's on the highway. What people like, it's on the highway.
Right. You and know? You can't change right. stuff like
you
that.
Can no, you can't change the location.
Sure. 3.3. You can defend 1,100, 1,000 foot. You can't defend
you
La
can't
Danita
defend
at 25
yeah.
million.
So what I'm seeing here is a lot of real estate people are very passionate about pricing and how to market and things of that nature. We saw a lot of that on this show. Yep. You guys spend a lot of time marketing and really aggressively trying to get your clients in. And a lot of times it overlaps with each other. So let's talk about that. What is kind of like the most ruthless things that you guys have done to get clients? And maybe at the expense of your adversary friendship?
That I don't think that. At least for Relegant team, we have never gone really no. after you know, somebody else's
We're
client.
Very outspoken who we are. But uh-huh. again, we're not one-stop-fits-all.
So
you know, whoever,
Team Relegant has not tried to poach clients from...
Well, not poach. I do it openly.
I wouldn't say that.
I do it openly. There's no poaching.
It's a communication thing.
It's not yeah. an affair if you disclose it up front.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard some... you know, from a birdie
uh-huh.
that someone on the other team has been texting one of my clients like late at night, early in the morning.
Really?
To meet up.
To meet
well,
up.
First of all, it's not me because I'm in bed at 8.
No, I know it's not you.
Okay.
This is true.
So that wouldn't
so
be
they're trying
concerned
to get,
it was you.
They're trying
no,
to get
you.
Your client to yeah. be their client.
Correct.
Well, I think that there's, I mean, I'm not part of it, so
at
I
least
know
is
that.
Not
for,
well, who
the
is?
Person
I'm
talking about.
Not part of it.
But no, I'm not part of it. But I can say, you know, we do have clients that know all of us. They
yeah.
know they've had
because
relationships in the past. So whether you're communicating with them or not doesn't mean that you're trying to steal them. You're just having a communication with them and, you know, wishing them a happy Thanksgiving.
That's
or
the tough
you know,
part
that's
too.
That. Mm-hmm. You
that sorry, you don't exactly. do that. You don't cross that line. So
no, however, but it's
wishing
all
happy
about
Thanksgiving or
nothing. You shouldn't communicate with anyone
well,
else.
You know,
no, but if the client is communicating with us and there's a previous relationship, why wouldn't you nurture that? Because, you know, agents come and go. They may, you know, fire me this week and then they'll go to Leo the next week because they already had a relationship. I can't
That's
change
different.
That, you know.
But when a relationship starts because of the show, that's completely different.
So you're saying this is a different situation altogether? Where
100%.
Okay, so there's somebody
it's totally crossing
who's
the line.
Look, who, somebody on Team Relegant who's texting one of your clients that
Absolutely.
Could possibly try to, okay.
Unless you have an exclusive right to represent, which
yeah.
is a car form.
Yeah.
You know, clients are going to do what they're going to do, and agents are going to do
well,
what they're going to do.
Well, oftentimes clients have several agents, not
yeah.
knowing that they're all showing the same
well,
thing.
Most of the developers
exactly.
in town
oh,
have
sure.
all of
They'll
us.
Go with
yeah.
Yeah.
They
property.
Have 20 agents
yeah.
that
I mean,
they're
yeah.
working
that's
with.
That's the tough
so.
Part of real estate. It comes with it. So.
What was the toughest part of the show? Like, it's a lot of your personal lives. It's a lot of, like, your work. Mm-hmm. And edited. And we were talking earlier, Leo, that there's a lot that they aren't showing.
Right.
That they're
yeah.
probably not going to show because there's a lot more taping time versus air time. So how did that go for you guys?
Well, I'll tell you that I think the production company did an excellent job mm-hmm. on, you know, making us feel very comfortable.
Yeah, good job,
I mean,
bro.
I don't know how many of us, you know, were really around cameras
mm-hmm.
and mics and
before,
lights and all that
yeah.
prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
But they made us feel very comfortable through mm-hmm. the whole process.
And natural.
And yeah. and I'll tell you, like the first day we started filming, you know, we were all nervous and
yeah.
like, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that as we progressed through the episodes, we became very loose.
Yeah.
We saw everybody
you forget.
Just
kind of
loosen mm-hmm. up. And that was due to the production company making us feel very comfortable.
Yeah, they did a great job. I agree. I think that none of us had any experience with this before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were super professional. But I also think that we took our team, Relegant's team, we supported each other. So we had a lot of fun with it. We had,
on
you
the
know,
beginning.
In the beginning. Yeah, well,
on the beginning, yeah, then we kind
no,
of fractured.
We still love each other, right? But no, I think that was...
You're supposed to answer that, Spiro.
Come on, Spiro.
Yes. Okay. The answer is yes.
Yes.
I think the toughest part, honestly, was time management.
Yeah.
You know, it took a lot away from, you know, family time and what we actually do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got developments, I've got clients, I've got a family first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And managing all of those relationships and then having to film for 6-7 hours at a time, it takes a lot out of you.
It does.
So time management, for me anyways, speaking personally, was the toughest part.
The toughest part.
I just stacked more hours on my day.
Yeah, sleep less.
I made it the best, and I looked at it as an amazing opportunity, and I was willing to make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So,
without a doubt.
Was there anything you would or did do differently because the cameras were rolling?
No. I mean, everybody that's watched it that I've run into.
Is there anything I would have done differently?
You're like the most organic guy on the show.
Yeah.
Like everyone that's seen it is like, that's like, you. It's like you, you're not
you
trying.
More aggressive,
and Spiro,
less aggressive.
I know that you're you on the show because I've met you outside of the show.
Because that's who we are. Yeah. Like it or not, everybody's going to like you. And you're not in the business to be liked by everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, I have to be congruent to who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have to be true to myself. I have no filter. I think everybody got picked for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've got the young guns over there that, you know, and Hunter that look good in a suit, and you've got the old dogs, and you've got the friction, the drama. Mm-hmm. And everybody got picked for a certain spot. They had the vision.
Yeah.
Mine is I have no filter.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty easy to look at for age 60.
Absolutely. And, for age, any age.
You know, yeah. And I, you
if
know,
you
can
say
what
so
it
yourself,
is.
Pat yourself on the back. You were totally yourself, I have to say. And even, I don't know everybody on the McMonagall's team, but I know that we were all pretty much ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes across when people
are
viewing it.
We didn't do anything different than who we are.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do. You know, our brand was about not trying to be TV stars, but having the outside world take a look at
what it is,
not knowing how we operate,
how we do things, and who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and I've always said that I would have done this for free. I would have paid them to do it because I was a little afraid that
there goes our contract for next.
I know.
He didn't mean that. That was a temporary lapse.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, but my point is that I was afraid that it was a typical reality show that is based on drama, but it's not.
Right.
It's based on a congruent way of how we do business.
Right.
We like each other, but we also have a lot of friction. I mean, when we see each other on the street, there's no animosity.
No. Mm-hmm.
Everything was
there's no hair pulling.
No. No drink in each other's face and call that, you know, a drama.
I think that was a production team, though, too.
They
wanted to make it authentic.
And everything is above the waist.
Yeah.
You know, everybody deserves shots.
Yeah,
we can take shots at everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. It's how you take the shots.
Yeah. In this business, you have to have thick skin.
Thick skin. Yeah.
And we made fun of it throughout the filming of this, you know, all these episodes in the season. But you got to have thick skin no matter what, and if you're going to get into this. And if you're going to try to go up the scale in this business, your skin has
to
be really...
You got to have thick skin.
You got to have thick skin and a strong stomach.
What is the hardest part about having done this? Was it the tweets or the fan reaction? Did you guys get a lot of backlash?
I didn't really even follow it because I didn't want to...
Follow what, Twitter? Or
no, I mean, I haven't been looking at what people really post about it because I know what we did and that was authentic. It was good. We did it for different reasons, but, you know, people will have their opinions, good or bad.
Yeah.
But we can't change what we did and how the show came about.
And
so
we feel
it is
good
what
about
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we all feel
so there was nothing that was hard about
it. I think people on my social media are loving it.
Yeah.
I think they love the
and
show.
And they'll be haters no matter what. If I can cure cancer and say, how dare you take work from these doctors?
Yeah, I know.
Right. Yeah, that could be the case.
You know, no matter what. So just be who you are.
So far, the feedback's been really good.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I wish I would have done is try for more camera time, you know, so that you'd be a little bit more out there.
But
in general,
it's not up to us.
No,
well,
you know,
everybody loves it.
Let's talk about camera time. Who do you think got too much camera time that didn't need it?
JoJo.
JoJo and
I want
Kylie.
You guys to be
Kylie got way too much.
I love Kylie. I do.
You know, JoJo was fun, actually.
It was just a lot.
You think she got more camera time than you found interesting?
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But, I mean, look at the premise of the show. The show, I think, morphed into a drama, who's going to get Michael as a client? And I still don't know if Michael is all that worth all the hassle that everybody put in. Yeah. I think he's a new girl on the block, and all of a sudden you take off the makeup, and it's a different girl.
Michael's working with all of us. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And I think there was a little bit too much emphasis on who's going to get Michael.
I think they tried to create this
story between
John and JoJo and their past, and I think they were just continuously spinning on that. And I think JoJo got a lot of airtime because she has an interesting personality, and you know, she was filming a lot of her personal stuff, which some of us didn't. I didn't do any of my personal stuff by choice. So,
well, it's sort of more. It's a double-edged sword. You show more of your personal life, you might get more camera time, but then you get more headache.
People want to see.
Everybody has different personalities, and they have different comfort levels of how much of that that you want
to
show. And really, you know,
I wanted to protect my family from that.
Yeah. And I did too. And that's why I didn't choose to do that.
Paula was going to get an agent next year.
Look, I think that they were setting up the platform for the season, and I think they did a great job. Yep. I mean, there's people that watch it, and they're like anxious to for next week. They want to know what's going to happen with JoJo. What is she going to say?
Is Kylie going to come back? Is she not?
No, everyone's like, I hope she stays in wherever she's at. Stay out there. I don't want her to come back.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's another thing.
She's got such a nasty mouth.
Well, wow. There you are. That's great. That's great. So what is something that you think they learned about you, or you hope that they learned about each one of you doing this show? You know?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice for my client to get the deal done. You know, my obligation is not necessarily to the brokerage, it's to my client.
Is that sort of the feedback that you get from people who've watched you?
So everybody that's watched me said, look, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, it may not have been the right thing for the brokerage, but in general, you know, I got four deals out of that. You know, sacrificing that one because I invested in my client. And at some point, I think every agent in their career that's not at the level that John's at does it.
Yeah.
And the feedback has been really good about that. I mean, I get recognized all the time, like IKEA or, you know, Gelson's Market or whatever, and people say, you're that guy, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and I have other cast members, you know, Spiro, I consider a very close friend.
Yeah.
You know, who calls me personally or texts me and says, hey, here's the deal, and he's always got my back. So
I think one difference, I think that John is a little different than the rest of the team on that regard. I don't agree with what John said. He said it's all about the spin and putting a client into a property that he might not want. And that's polar opposite of what I think a lot of us feel. It's not about the spin.
You can't sell somebody to somebody who doesn't want it.
I just wrote an article for Inman, and it's all about relationship, where I said, I'm not in the business of selling real estate. I'm the business of developing relationship. Then the real estate will follow. It's on SparrowKimball.com.
SparrowKimball.com, that's right.
But we're in the relationship of building. We're in the business of building a relationship.
I feel like I'm in the business of not only building relationships, but the only thing I can do is deliver a lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're selling. At this level, we're selling a lifestyle.
But if you know the clients personally, if you have a relationship, you can fit the property into what they want.
100%.
Rather than putting a spin on it and making a client buy something.
I will never do that.
But contextually with that, just with that comment.
SparrowKimball.com, by the way.
LeoGoldfirst.com.
That was a development opportunity, okay, where, you know, as a developer or as an agent, it's our obligation to say, look, here's the opportunity. Let me help guide you into that. The property itself may not be what you want as far as the house that's on it, but we can create something out of it.
Hey, I love you, brother, but you're barking up the wrong tree. It's all about the spin. And just come on. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
It's all about
be objective.
Too.
So what you're saying is they said it's all about the spin.
Not they.
John said
on TV it's all about the spin.
And you're saying it's about the relationship.
It's about the relationship and finding out what's best for the client.
You can't sell a house to somebody that they don't love. You just, you know, unless it's an investment opportunity.
Well, I guess at the end of the season, you can see what both teams are like, see what each one of you individually are like, and choose who you want to work with. And that's got to be great for each of your businesses.
Absolutely.
So what's a cliffhanger? Can you share with us?
I can't. It's funny. I saw the finale already, but you guys haven't. So, ha. No, but it's really good. So, it's good.
Who shot JR?
We're John hoping for shot? Season two. John, he did clutch his chest for a little bit, and then that went black. So that's the ending. The whole, he clutched his chest, and the scene went black.
Is John coming back?
Is John coming back?
Let me ask you, do they leave you wanting more?
Yeah. You're kind of left with a good, solid, listen to me telling you guys how your show ended.
Yeah.
But your season ended. But I think that what you see is there's a genuine relationships between all of you, whether it's good or bad, they show it. And there's a real different philosophy in each of you.
You know, if I can mention one thing here, we did an exercise toward the end. We did a mud run.
Yes, we did.
In Corona on a really...
I'm glad that wasn't filmed.
And it was 10 of us. And at that point, we were still kind of, you know... contrived kind of two teams. However, after the mud run, it was really a genuine, people were cheering for each other, people were help. You know, I have two hip replacements, four knee operations, five back operations. You know, I'm walking, you know, surgery, and everybody helped me get through.
Which is great.
Everybody was cheering for you and was actually genuine.
And I think that that's with the Relegance group too. We were very team oriented, and I feel like I was portrayed, I feel, and my clients have said, you're a team player.
Yeah.
You were there supporting them. You didn't need to be the main face of the show. You were there supportive while doing business, and that's exactly how I feel that I conduct my
business. Well, I would like each of you to tell the audience listening where they can find you and hope for a second season, because the season finale is a really good one. So let's start with you, Alyssa.
Okay, elisastoll.com or lovecdm.com. Those are my websites.
LoveCDM.
LoveCDM.
Okay.
SpiroKimball.com.
.com.
SpiroKimball.com. And make sure you write in for Apollo.
Apollo.
He gave me instructions when I left. He says, dude, mention me.
Okay. Hi, Apollo.
Apollo. So here's a shout out to you.
Oof. Leo Goldschwartz at leogoldschwartz.com. And all my social media, same name,
same
Leo
thing.
Goldschwartz. Yep.
So Drew D'Angelo on Facebook, Drew D'Angelo on Instagram, and then www.themcmonagleteam.com, Drew D'Angelo.
You got it.
Are you finished? How about Drew?
DeAngelo.net.tv.com. .fr.ca.
Okay.
Thank you guys for being here. It's a really great season finale. It was a great team, and I'm kind of glad that they showed teams. I'm glad they showed females in it, and your families, and all of the time management stuff. It's not just about, you know, good looking men in suits in big cities selling,
and
you
women.
Know.
And women.
Well, it's historically been a lot of like male oriented,
for sure.
Like, for sure. And it's nice to see families and dogs and women and all of that selling real estate.
Right.
So. Well, there are more women selling real estate than men.
Of course,
I'm glad that they portrayed us as hardworking women.
Exactly.
And it takes a lot of effort, especially when you have kids.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they showed that side of things, you know.
Part-time.
So,
nobody works part time, at least not on our team.
Again, 2 months ago, I wrote an article that said, stop being a hobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you go to a part-time
doctor,
mm-hmm. part-time lawyer? No, why would you go to a part-time realtor? Oh, by the way, I dabble real estate. Let me show you some properties.
Yeah.
Don't be a hobbyist.
Yeah.
You know, commit to your craft. And I'm the most outspoken voice for our CAR, California Association of Realtors, because we have too much dilution.
Part-time. Yeah.
And take your job serious. It's easier. It's harder to get a cosmetology license than it is to get a real estate license.
Which should be much harder to get. Because
we're dealing with people's biggest asset.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we care.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we do.
On that note, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doc, for having us.
You got
appreciate
it.
You, Doc.
You guys were fun.
Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.